This is a Collider.com audio interview.
How you doing, sir?
How are you? Nice to see you again.
Nice to see you, sir.
Thanks for calling me, sir.
What'd I do? So, how...
And does this work with all the iPods?
Yes.
Is it a new thing? Or is it... Because I heard the new ones, you can't do this. I'm always more interested by your recording devices than your questions.
Okay, I saw a brief clip of this.
Cool, and what's
you're
it
the,
like?
You're the bad guy. You look like some kind of an insect or something. I'm not quite sure what you are in this, but you're the bad guy. How do you pronounce your name in this?
Galaxar.
Galaxar has an X in it.
Yes, I am the bad guy. Thanks for noticing. And I guess you would say Galaxar is a four-eyed, six-legged, part squid, part humanoid.
Okay.
And all sexy. All the time. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to ask the basic, obvious question. Have you ever been offered an animated film before? And what made you say yes to this project?
I have never been offered an animated film before, and B, I needed the money. I'm joking, come on, freak show. No, this was Rob Letterman, the director... I knew through the grapevine, and we had been trying to work on an indie film together, actually, a long time ago. And Lisa Stewart, who's a producer of the film, produced my first movie that I was in, Almost Famous. So I had a nice personal connection, and I went in and met with them and got the tour of the... When I saw the art designs and what they were trying to do and the kind of the spin on those great 50s and 60s monster movies, I jumped at the chance to be a part of it. I grew up watching those movies on weekends in the 70s when they would replay, you know, The Blob and, you know, Godzilla and all the great Them and all those great classic horror movies. So I love it and I'm actually an alien, so it worked out well.
Did you have a favorite alien or villain from one of those movies from the 50s?
Well, there was Santa Claus Conquers the Martians. Those Martians were pretty badass. I would say, you know, my favorite alien villain is the one from the Warner Brothers cartoon, from the Martian.
Marvin
the Martian. He's pretty great. Although Galaxar is much more evil and macabre and seeking universal conquest and domination and annihilation.
So that's what he wants. Is he after anything else in particular?
And he just wants to be understood.
Makes sense. I had read that you said it's kind of hard for comedians to play evil people and nobody wants to see somebody who's really funny play somebody really dark and brooding. So is this kind of fun to be able to play an evil guy?
Well, I think... I don't know where I would have said that. I think that it's an absolute blast to play someone... unrepentantly evil, and I'm actually thinking about becoming evil myself. It's actually kind of influenced my character. So, thinking about just tossing the moral code completely out the window and just going apeshit, you know, like just destruction. What do you guys think?
I like it. Absolutely.
With me?
Yeah. How do you prepare to make born with your voice for a character and to make a character so evil like Galaxar?
Well, the great thing about doing an animated film like this is you have a lot of time. You know, the first time we came in, we just played around with it. We just had a couple of scenes and just tried different voices, and they talked about ideas, and we looked at the sketches and some animatronics and stuff like that. And then the next time I came in, and they had done a lot more work on the story, and they had the movie all cast. And at that point in time, the second time I came in, they're like, you know, we realize that we really need him to just be more grounded and more evil, and even really there's times when he needs to be really threatening and be a real obstacle for the heroes of the movie. So we went from having this kind of wildly comic idea of the evil alien to being a much more kind of straight and more serious evil alien warlord. So,
do you see any yourself in the Galaxy's pictures or movement? You obviously saw some animation,
mm-hmm,
right?
Yes.
So the Galaxy is... looks like a kind of squid, but it not mm-hmm. looks like you, but right. actually they shoot when you voice overing. So do you see any kind of behavior or some kind
of... Yeah, I definitely see some expressions of myself, and I'm not necessarily pleased. You know, I see, like, because they film you while you're doing it, just so they can kind of get, like, how you say something. And then I forget, there was something I did, and it was like, it was kind of like, I said some line, I was like that or something, and then I saw them do that. I'm like, that's me, I do that. And it's like, it's really, really unfortunate. I also have six legs. I tuck three each in each pant leg.
And two shoes, both sides?
Yep, yep.
Is it weird for you to be talking about... It's obviously doing promotion, you get used to it, I'm sure, and you get used to it, but is it weird for you to be promoting something when you haven't seen the final product, or how much of the film have you seen?
I saw about a 40-minute series of clips of throughout the movie. And, yeah, I mean, you know, but I've read the script, I know the story, and I had the full 3D experience, which was pretty awesome. It's a little strange not having seen the whole thing, but you know, I knew it would be this way because animated films are right until the release, they're being tweaked and played with and stuff like that. I think I'm going in next week to even put down some more lines, so it's not completely done.
I was going to say, how is it for you? What's your opinion on the whole 3D revolution that's going on in the industry right now, especially with animated films and 3D IMAX and everything?
Well, I didn't really have much of an opinion about 3D stuff, and I have never really... I think I saw the Rolling Stones on IMAX, but other than that, I've never seen any IMAX films. And but I went in to the DreamWorks studio and saw it on the giant screen with the 3D glasses, and it was absolutely mind-blowing. I can't believe how cool it was, because it's not just about the gimmick of the 3D, like, oh, someone throws a spear and it's like, oh, it's coming out at you. It's, you know, it takes you into the world and you get a kind of a much more visceral sense of the world they're creating and the way that you move through space and into the action. And yeah, I could see a big future with 3D. I'm not sure how that's all going to work, but it's pretty exciting. I mean, you know, you may come a time when people are like, oh, two-dimensional movies, how quaint. It's like black and white movies or something. I think we'll have surgically implanted 3D glasses into our retinas.
Laser surgery.
Well, it's difficult for people like you and me because we have to put the glasses over our glasses.
That's right.
Because it was sitting right there when I saw it. You know.
Oh, yeah.
So I think Katzenberg said something about someday making prescription 3D glasses. And he's already talking to somebody like Lens Crafters or somebody about
Luxottica.
They, you were there too? Were you there too? So that, isn't that, it's, that's interesting. You think that will ever happen because they must be expensive?
Yeah, I don't know. Sure, why not? It's an investment, you know? Yeah.
I hope so.
Since we, I'm just going to ask, since we last spoke to you, you did a certain Michael Bay movie. And I wanted to know, what was your experience like doing it? And what, because I've heard he's a little interesting to work for.
He's quite a guy, man. It was really, I had a blast. He was really nice, and Shia LaBeouf was very nice, too. And I had a lot of fun. It's just a small cameo that I'm doing. But he's very involved. I mean, he does props and wardrobe and change this, and he'll grab the camera and shoot things and, you know, block you on stage. And I mean, he's very involved in every aspect of the process.
I've heard he's almost his own first AD.
Essentially, yeah. Yeah.
What is your cameo in that?
I play a college professor.
You don't get squashed or anything?
No, nothing. I don't get to turn into a robot, and nothing blew up while I was there.
Did your son, like, have any influence in you picking this part? Like, is he ready to see this kind of stuff right now? Or
well, it was funny, because the first time I had the meeting on this movie, must have been like a year and a half ago, maybe almost 2 years ago, was my very first kind of introduction to the movie. And my son was only 2 years old, and now he's 4 and a half, and he's going to love it. It's going to blow his mind. It's the perfect age for it.
Does he like monsters and dinosaurs?
Oh, yes.
Right now?
Oh, anything. Monsters. Anything scary, monsters, dinosaurs, superheroes, aliens, robots, anything of that milieu, he just goes crazy for it.
What about ninjas? Because are you still working on the ninja?
I have finished the ninja script, and it is sitting in Jason Reitman's on his desk. No, he's very excited about it, and you know, he's talking about potentially making it next year. So we'll see what happens.
The Office is on. It's as good as it's ever been. And do you guys? I guess my question is, what can fans look forward to this for the rest of the season? Do you know where like the arcs are going, and what do you think the secret is of the success of the show? Because you'd think that maybe it could get a little bit not stale, but it could be difficult to keep on writing for these characters, yet the characters keep on going.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just curious what your take is on all that.
Gosh, I wish I knew better how to describe like what kind of works about the show and why, but they just keep writing interesting stuff. I mean, I can just speak for me. Like, they just keep writing interesting stuff for Dwight. Like, no two episodes are the same. You know, a lesser show, you would just see Dwight be, like, the annoying nerdy guy in the same way over and over again, you know, with the plastic pocket pen protectors and stuff like that. But in The Office, like, every episode I get some new adventure or some new color comes out or some new scheme or some new way to kiss ass or be the top salesman, and you know, more family life is revealed, and I think that's what makes the show great, is that they're always striving to dig deeper every episode with all the characters.
Is the Angela romance, did that come as a surprise to you, the way that kind of is playing out? Because it's very, and with a lesser show, they might not have let Dwight do something like that.
Yeah.
But in this incarnation of The Office, they are making Dwight almost a, you know, a much deeper character, as you
yeah.
were saying.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, when the romance, can we turn this air down?
Yeah.
It's like a walking cooler here.
I swear I did it.
Shoot it with your laser gun. No, okay, there we go.
You know, it started with just a little, you know, a little hint of Dwight making out with Angela, and like the way that it's gone over two plus seasons has been really great. Yeah, and it's exactly like I say, like on a lesser show, they never would have given Dwight a love life or a passion or a vulnerability or, you know, any of those really human emotions. So pretty darn lucky.
Speaking of nerds, what's going on with Renaissance Man?
We're working away on it. We're almost done with our third draft for Jay Roach. And then when we're happy with that one, we'll turn it into the studio and see if they like it.
How many Ren Fairs did you have to go to for research?
Oh, I went to so many. I went to like four different ones. Yeah. But I grew up going to Ren Fairs too, and I used to go when I lived in New York to the Sterling, Sterling one in New York. Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty awesome. But I'm very, very excited about it. It's a world that I've never seen in a movie before. So,
your hiatus is coming up in a few months, and I've heard that Hollywood is gearing up, assuming a strike doesn't happen, is gearing up to make a lot of projects in February and March.
Mm-hmm.
Have you already started thinking about or putting yourself in position to maybe go after some of this?
I've had a lot of meetings on scripts that are out there and projects. Some have been greenlit, some they're kind of thinking about greenlighting, but nothing's been locked up specifically yet.
You went to you were at Sundance a year or two ago.
Mm-hmm.
What was your take looking back now on the festival? What do you think about the festival, and is it something that you'd go to if you didn't have a movie there just to experience the films, or I'm just curious.
You know, if I wanted to experience films, I'd probably go to another more low-key festival, one that didn't have as many gift suites, because I think that it's become pretty commercialized over there, although they do really get cream of the crop films. I can't people always compare it, but I never went to it in the early years, but it was kind of a madhouse. It's definitely not any place I would go to ever relax. But if I was going to go watch films, I'd probably go to some really remote, you know, I'd go to the Guam International Film Festival or something like that.
I guess getting back onto Monsters vs. Aliens, when you first got the script, how close is it to what is actually coming out? I mean, can you see, because the directors have talked about how much they change in the process of bringing it to the screen, but what was it when you first got it pitched versus what it is now? Was there a lot of differences?
No, I guess I didn't really realize, yeah, it's better than I thought it was going to be, because I didn't really realize how insanely great those action sequences were going to be. And those action sequences are like nail-biter, you know, it's just like a roller coaster ride that you go on. And you know, I thought it was funny, and these monsters and the aliens and the funny dialogue and jokes. I knew it was going to be a great comedy, but it's also going to work. It needs to work on a character level and in an action movie level too. And it's, I think it works really well.
Did they give you any leeway to ad lib at all?
Oh sure, yeah. Probably, maybe a third of what I say in that is ad libbed.
Really?
Yeah, that's a lot.
So your audience was the directors to see if they laughed or?
Yeah. We just play. It's a great collaboration. They're over in the booth and try it this way. And like, oh, I have an idea and try it. And it's a lot like how we do in the office. There's a lot of give and take. Oh, try it this way. And you know, on the office, everything is decided in the editing room. I mean, you can kind of shoot whatever you want, however you want to shoot it. They'll figure out in the editing room what works the best, and it's the same for an animated film like this. Like, just, you know, don't talk about it. Just try it 1,000 different ways, and they'll, you know, they'll shape it accordingly.
They've recently started producer cuts of The Office on NBC.com.
Mm-hmm.
Have you checked out any of those things? Have you seen any more of your performance? Are you paying attention to that?
I haven't really. There's been some good stuff that I've done that's been cut out of episodes, as there always is, because, you know, we have... The first cut is usually around 30 minutes, and then what airs is has to be 21 minutes and 30 seconds. So, you know, a lot of stuff gets on the cutting room floor. So, but I haven't watched the full producer's cut episodes now, but I've seen a few little deleted scenes here and there.
I've got a question about, stupid, but I want to picture it in my head. How big is your character in comparison to the monsters?
I mean, I think they had a size chart when I started working, and I think I'm like 17 feet tall. I'm very big. Maybe not quite that tall, but I'm much taller than a normal human.
Because Ginormica is almost 50 feet tall.
Yeah, she kicks my ass.
Okay. All
right, guys, this is the last question.
Well, I have something.
Good. How is listening your voice? How freaky, or I don't know, is listening your voice in this character when you see in the? How do you feel? And you listen to your voice on the Galaxar.
Yeah, it's pretty freaky to see a giant, weird, squid-like alien going across the screen and then hearing my voice come out of him. It's kind of, it's like, wow, that's disturbing. But a lot of people think of me as a big, weird, freaky alien, so I guess, I don't think it'll come as any big shock to anyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.